on that a little bit. I appreciate it. 1 Corinthians 15, Philippians 2. Let's look through our Bible a little bit this morning. The perfect example of the human life was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that statement? The perfect example of the human life was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it one more time. The perfect example of the human life was lived by our Lord Jesus Christ. Agree? He was God, come in the flesh, and He lived it perfectly. Therefore, would you agree with this? His attitude, His actions, everything He did, His intents, His purposes, were all perfect. Agree? Would you agree with this? His philosophy and His way of thinking, His mindset, was also perfect. Let me show you something about His mindset, if you would, His philosophy, if you would understand that term. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to see one little area, if you want, one little topic that probably the world thinks of one way, but we should think of it in a different way. Verse 20 starts it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thanks for turning there. But now is Christ risen from the dead. We could stop right there, amen? Now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all do what? Die. Even so in Christ shall all be made what? Alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Watch verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son, capital S, also himself be what? Everybody say it what? Subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Do you see there where it says that the Son, capital S, Jesus Christ, shall himself also then be subject, be in submission to, if you would, him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The concept is this, that the Son will, if you would, continue to be in submission to God the Father. Hey, the Godhead is extremely wise, if you would, the God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit. It's set up for an example to us, and He's put a situation before us to where the Son, Jesus Christ, is going to be subject, or if you would, still is submissive to the Father. And I want to make a statement to you. Subjection is not weakness. To be submissive is not weakness. This world thinks and teaches, if you would, that if you are submissive to somebody, that means you're not very strong. But in fact, strength submits. Strength is subjective. Strength does not mean that we're insecure. Oh, you're not going to rule and reign over me. You're not going to have an influence in my life. You're not going to correct me. You know what that is? That's rebellion. May I make a statement to you? I believe an adult generation in our country does disservice to the next generation by letting teenagers do what they want to do. In fact, as young children, don't we teach them to be subject to adult authority? I'm not talking about abuse. Get that out of your brain. If we love our child, we correct our child. Come on. So the idea is from a young child, we teach them to be subject to authority. When they're going through school, they should be subject to their teachers, whether their teachers are parents or teachers at the school. Is that right? Come on, talk to me. And subjection is something that has to be taught and learned, because the old nature is not subject. The old nature that we're born with is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. It's not subject to rules. I watched my young boy this morning, my youngest, perfect illustration. He loves to go outside. He's 18 months old. He loves to go outside. One of the other boys took the trash out. The door was partially open. I went over and shut the door. The 18-month-old little boy named Timothy was in his regalia, ready to come to church, all his niceties and everything on, hair combed and everything. And when I shut the door, I watched this 18-month-old boy take a swan dive, literally. It was one of the most perfect dives I've ever seen onto the floor. He dove, I mean feet up, he dove onto the floor without batting an eye, looked up at me and began to throw a tantrum. He knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted his way. Come on. Brethren, you say, well, like father, like son, or like son, like father. You were born with it too. I got to tell you, little girls do it too. I mean, he got on the floor and he gave one of those, you know, little fist beating things. I didn't teach him that. He's never saw me do that. I always do that in my bedroom. I never let the children see when I do that. I mean, it was classic. He beat the floor and cried, looked up at me, beat the floor, kicked his legs and cried. I said to my wife, boy, that was a perfect tantrum. I mean, 9.9. Swan dive. And he said, yeah, he's been doing that more lately. So what do you do when they do that? You correct them. Because if you don't, by the time they're 11 or 12 or 13, they'll do the same thing, but not on the floor. And by the time they're 15 or 16 or 17, they'll do the same thing, but to your face. Some of us did. So we teach them and train them to be in subjection, because subjection and submissiveness is not weakness, it's actually strength. Why? Because the perfect example of being in submission is our Lord Jesus Christ. And He says one day He will make Himself subject after He's put all things, all that power, then He subjects Himself to God the Father. Look at Philippians 2. Stay with me. Philippians chapter 2. To be in subjection and submission is not being a wimp. In fact, the true wimps are those that can't be in subjection and submission. Philippians chapter 2. Stay with me. Let me prove it out to you. Look at verse number 5. You're doing well. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, this attitude, this philosophy, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of what? Say it. A servant is one who's submissive, is that right? Hey, in the Bible, a servant is what it takes to be a leader, so a leader who's a servant must be submissive, must be in subjection. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him a form of a servant, was made in likeness of man. Watch. And being found in fashion of a man, he did what? Humbled himself. Brethren, to have humility takes submission. And became obedient unto death. And then he says this, even the death of the cross, which is a cruel, the most cruel death there could be, the most painful death there could be, the death of the cross. It was only reserved for the worst of malefactors, if you would, the worst thieves, the worst breakers of the law. And he became obedient. He submitted himself to death, even the death of the cross. In fact, brethren, look what it says there. Verse 7, he became, made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Verse 8 says, and being found fashioned as a man. Hey, that was something just for God, the Son, to allow himself to be born through a woman. You talk about submission. Here he was in heaven with God the Father, and he came in and was born through a woman named Mary. You mean he existed before that? Yeah, he was with the Father before the foundations of the world. But he had submitted himself to stick himself in flesh like we are, and he came through the birth canal of a woman, if you would. That's submission. That's being subject. We have no concept of that. We were born. We didn't have a choice. We were born. But now we have a choice whether or not to be born again. He chose to be born and found in the fashion of man. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. You're doing well. He submitted himself. He subjected himself. Because submission is not weakness, it's strength. Hebrews chapter 2. I'll bear this out in a moment. Look at three verses very quickly. Hebrews chapter 2. Isn't the Bible wonderful? Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Hebrews 2, 9. But we see who? Say it. Jesus. Who was made a little lower than who? The angels. You know what he did? He submitted himself to be made in this world a little lower than even the angels, because the angels live in a body much higher than this fleshly body. So he made himself, he made himself, he made himself. He allowed himself to be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Look at verse 14, please. For as that much then as the children are partakers of what? Say it. Flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Took part of the same what? Flesh and blood. The very fact that he put on this body of flesh was an act of submission. Look, if you would, at verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of what? Angels. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. That's flesh and blood. We think of it today, but we don't really think of it because we didn't see him in his glory. And then watch him come through and be born of flesh and grow as a child, become a young adolescent, all the things that we face. This was God made into the flesh. He had to do it through submission. The same God, if you would, Jesus Christ, that freely laid his life down. When he came up before the Roman government officials, did he submit himself? When he came up before the Roman government officials, did he submit himself? He was like a lamb, dumb before his slaughterers. Like, if you would, a sheep before his shearers. He opened not his mouth. He submitted himself. Oh, he did say one time, thou could have no power at all. Thou sayest it. But he submitted himself to mankind. The very mankind that he made, he submitted himself. Even though he could have called a legion of angels, he didn't. You see, when you have the power and you have the authority, and you're still willing to submit, that strength. He had the power, he had the authority, he's the one that spoke the world into existence, and there he was submitting himself to freely die. That's strength, brethren. Would you agree with that? Let me tell you what the teenagers in the world are sometimes taught. No fear. No fear means no respect. No respect means no submission. In fact, you know, it becomes more and more the concept in the music generation of our teenagers that rebellion is cool. Come on. Some of you grew up in it. Don't sit there like we got your halo on. You know what I'm talking about. Some of us grew up in some of that, and some of us came through that, and that music that they're listening to, some of it says rebellion is cool. Don't listen to your parents. Come on, is it in there or not? Don't listen to the authorities that be. Don't listen to officials. That's rebellion, which the Bible says is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion isn't strength. Rebellion is weakness. Would you agree? The peer pressure of the day and many of the teenage groups, and by the way, I'm not saying the world is terrible. We love to see the world come to Lord Jesus Christ, but brethren, walk through them all and see what's going on. Read your newspapers. One out of four teenagers in this country are getting pregnant. You know what that is? Rebellion to morality. Can't really blame them totally. Because the adults are supposed to be doing the training. Hey, submission does not mean oppression. I don't see where Jesus was oppressed, but he was subject and he was submitted. Come on. And if Jesus, if that was his mind, shouldn't we have that mind that we ought to be subject to the powers that be? We ought to be subject to God and to those, if you would, in our lives that are authorities in our lives, and we ought to be subject to them. In fact, one of the best things for a young punk is to learn discipline. I used to be a Marine Corps officer. One of my last duties was Parris Island, South Carolina, as a series commander. I had to interview all the privates at least twice. Boy, we had those young punks coming out of New York. And I mean, some of the young punks used to carry pieces. They had the battle scars. They didn't understand submission and subjection. They understood retaliation and rebellion and gang wars. Some of them at 13 and 14 were mules carrying drugs. And they began to carry pieces at 15 to protect the mules, the younger boys. And the judge would say, you got two choices. You go to jail, you go to the Marine Corps. I don't know if they do that anymore, but when I was in, they did. And inevitably, they'd say, we'll join the Corps. So they'd send them to us. I mean, court-ordered. You will go to Paris Island. You will become a Marine. And if you don't make the Marine training, you will go to jail. Some of them, as far as their personality, in the weeks that we had them, literally transformed and changed. I'm not saying it's a permanent change like salvation, but it didn't hurt them. And I'm not advocating everybody should go in the Marine Corps. I said they were some young punks that needed to learn some discipline. It'd be better off for our children that they learn discipline at home. Be better for our children that the church atmosphere is one where the adults are held in high esteem. We're not talking about abusiveness, but hey, isn't it right that the authorities, if you would, in school and government and church leadership, if you would, in our families, our extended families, the children should be taught. They should learn. Why? Because then as they come up through life, they'll be better employees. They'll be in subjection to the employers. Come on, hello. They'll be able to keep a job and hold down a job. They'll be able to function in a local New Testament church. And please look up here and understand, because they have learned to be in subjection to those they can see, then they can learn to be in subjection to the one they can't yet see. I've never seen Jesus, have you? I've seen Him through the eyes of my understanding, but I've never yet physically seen Him. But I know this, I want to be in subjection to Him. He's King and King and Lord of Lords as far as I'm concerned. You say, how in the world could you be in subjection to someone you can't see? By faith. And we're better off for it, aren't we? The concept of subjection and submissiveness then is vital to our growth. Look, if you would, at Romans 6. You're doing well? Romans 6. Watch this principle apply. I said the principle of subjection and submission is vital to our growth and our maturity. I want to get better. I want to grow more mature. I want you to reach your potential. I want you to be what you're supposed to be for God. I want you to be able to edify me, and I want to be able to edify you as a brother to brother, as a brother to sister. Proverbs chapter 6, look if you would, verse 23, watch, a string of scriptures. For the commandment is a what? Say it. Proverbs chapter 6, what'd I give you? What'd I give you, Romans? Oh, man. Romans 6, 23 is probably good too. But let's follow the Holy Spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Get me out of the way. Proverbs chapter 6, thanks. That's why I like communication. That way you're not sitting there going, he's making a fool of himself. He's in the wrong scripture. Proverbs chapter 6, thank you. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp. Now, by the way, a commandment is a rule. A commandment is a law. A commandment sets boundaries. And what that Bible says, that commandment is a lamp. It lights our way. You mean rules light our way? Absolutely. And the law is light. And the reproof and reproofs of instructions are the what? The way of life. A reproof is a correction, is that right? A reproof is when someone allows for correction, and instruction allows for edification. A reproof is saying you are not doing it right, you're doing something wrong, and you need to change that. And the only way we can hear reproof is to be submissive. But reproof is supposed to be a way of life. To be corrected and be, if you would, constructively criticized, to be instructed and taught. It's supposed to be a way of life. And would you agree with this adult? Instruction and reproof never stops. Not if we want to continue to grow. Hey, when we're 60 and 70 and 80 years old, we still need to be reproved from time to time so we can grow stronger in the Lord. Yes or no? But if we're rebellious, if you would, not submissive, not subjected, then we won't receive that. So reproofs and instruction are the way of life. I think this, too, it's a way to a more abundant life. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, you're doing well. In chapter 8, look, if you would, at verse 33. Verse 33. The first word is what? The first word is what? That means hearing means listening. Hearing means understanding. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. You know what it says? Don't rebel against the instruction that's coming your way. Hear it, understand it, apply it, and get more wise. Christians are supposed to be teachable. Did you ever run into anybody out in that world that's not teachable? Have you ever worked with someone at your job that's just absolutely not teachable and they know everything? Come on. You know what they are? Rebellious. You know what they are? Weak. They won't receive instruction. They won't receive reproof. They know it all. They're very proud of who they are. And they're weak. They want to put a facade on that they're strong, but actually they're weak. Would you agree? Come on. Let's go a little further. In Proverbs chapter 9, just flip over. Proverbs 9, you're doing well. Verse 9, interesting, watch it. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet what? Wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in what? Learning. Let me ask you a question. In the last month, anybody in here, as you read your Bible and study your devotional life, did you get reproved by the Holy Spirit in any area in the Bible? That's how we continue to grow. Somebody says, you're a wise man, you know a lot. Hey, you know what? A wise man knows he doesn't know much and needs to be taught more. A wise man realizes that he needs to be rebuked once in a while, and he needs to be chastened once in a while, and he needs to be reproved and corrected once in a while, and he submits himself to that. It's not strength, it's security, it's not weakness, it's intelligence. Chapter 12, would you turn there? Chapter 12. Bible's our guide, is that right? Chapter 12. Watch this now. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know any fools? They're never wrong, they're always right. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a fool? You're looking at a former fool. Every once in a while, I have maybe an hour or two period in the day where I'm a little foolish and I don't receive correction the way I should. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. To hearken means submit and subject and listen. Look one more, if you would, 19. Chapter 19, please. Chapter 19. You know this whole Bible is filled with this, but watch. Chapter 19. Verse 20. What's the first word again? Hear, hear. Chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise when? In thy latter end. A person that stops receiving correction becomes a scorner. They can hold ill will and develop a grudge and bitterness. It'd be better to go out of this life, live a full life, live to the end of life. In the last day of our life, let someone be able to reprove us and correct us, because please look up here, submission and subjection is not weakness. In fact, submission and subjection allows for peace. I'm talking about peace inside here. Everything I said so far, have any problems with it? Because I've always shown you with the Bible. But inside of us is an old nature that says, that's not true. Why, that old nature doesn't want to submit. Doesn't want to be subject to the law of God and the rules of God. In fact, the philosophy of this world is, let them run wild. Let them do their own thing. Give those children their rights at a young age.
Something's wrong when you give the child decision-making power at 11 and 12 years old on how they're going to control their night. Because they're not going to choose right. When 12 and 13, they're telling us when they're coming home. It's quiet in here. Do you remember how many of you, I won't embarrass you ladies, how many of you men by the time you were 14 or 15 were telling your parent or parents when you were coming home, or you didn't even tell them? We were punks, weren't we? And we thought we were cool. We were stupid. A strong word. We were dumb. We were ignorant. Hey, let me stop there. We're not talking about oppressiveness. We're talking about Christ-likeness. He was in subjection. He submitted. You mean even to the government officials? Yeah, he paid his taxes. He paid Peter's too. How'd he do that? Told Peter to go fishing. First fish he caught, look in the mouth, take the money, go pay his taxes. That was subjection. Yes or no? Now, boy, I tell you what, some of you are freezing on me here. You know what? There must be an area of rebellion in our lives. Must be the Holy Spirit shining light into a dark little corner saying, well, you're submitted in a lot of areas, but this one area over here, you need to die and get crucified so you can submit that area too. Leadership has to be submitted. A leader is a servant. Would you agree? A leader is a servant. Somebody's going to be great in the congregation, they have to be servant to all. A leader is a servant, so therefore he must have a submitted, submissive spirit and attitude. You know, I'm going to stop right here. Hold it, Proverbs 29, and let me show you something real quick, because I can tell you some of y'all are bucking on me just a little bit. Proverbs 29, hold your place there. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You're doing well. Ephesians chapter 5. Boy, if there's a struggle inside of you right now, it's that old man, new man thing. I understand that thing. Ephesians 5, watch. Holding your place in Proverbs 29, Ephesians 5. If you're a Christian, you know this. If you haven't seen it yet, you ought to see it and you ought to study it. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the who? Who? Who is that? The Holy Spirit. It's a person. He's a person. What happens when we're filled with the Spirit? Verse 18, do you see the semicolon? When we're filled with the Spirit, we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we're filled with the Spirit, verse 20, we give thanks always. When we're filled with the Spirit, verse 21, the first word is submitting yourselves to who? One to another in the fear of God. And then it goes on to say, wives, submit yourself. You say, that's it. That does it. Don't like that. Don't like that. Cut that one out. Who you been listening to? See, it always gets quiet when you talk about wives submitting to their husbands, like that's some oppressive act or something like that. Hey, don't let the ERA and the now generation turn you away from what God planned. And if that makes you offensive, I'm not talking about abusing women. I understand women's rights and suffrage has done some great things for women in our country, but let's not take it too far. See, everybody's quiet when you say that. I understand the abusiveness that goes on the women. I understand. And I tell you what, I'm against wife beaters. The man has no strength at all if he beats his wife. He's not a man if he beats his wife. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in abusing a woman. I ever see one of my boys raise his hand to their mother, that's my wife he's about ready to hit and he's in trouble. But brethren, we have to have the order that God set for mankind. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Listen to me. I didn't choose to be a man. I mean, it wasn't like choice ABC, which we'd like to be.
Stop the tape at this point and turn the cassette over to continue.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Listen to me. I didn't choose to be a man. I mean, it wasn't like choice A, B, C, which we'd like to be. I include C for the culture we're in, you know. We didn't have a choice. It wasn't like check box where you would like to be born, what sexual orientation you'd like to be, male or female. It didn't say where would you like to be born and what culture would you like to be born in. What color would you like your skin to be? And what kind of financial culture would you like to be raised in? We were just born. And we accept who we are and what we are, but when we're saved, everything changes. So after I'm saved, and by the way, I used to be liberated and believe in total liberation. Be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. It doesn't matter. Just leave me alone. Now that I've read the Bible and studied after a save for since 1979, I find out that I have a role that I'm supposed to take and I'm going to fit into the role that God ordained. Oh, by the way, you say, why submit yourself? The message is on that, but look at verse 25. Don't forget that part too. Husbands, love your wives. Love her to the place where you give yourself for her. Where does it say that? Husband, love your wife, even Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for her. He submitted himself to death for the church, for his bride. If I was a woman, I'd want that kind of husband. Somebody says, I'm looking for a big old strong he-man that rides a Harley. Smells like a bear. Saw a whole group of them last week. Wasn't impressed. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're filled with God. Would you agree? When we're filled with the Spirit, we are filled and saturated with God in us. And the things that we do is we sing to ourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, because up in heaven they're singing to God. Please understand, we give thanks, we're appreciative. But one of the other things we do is we learn to submit and be in subjection, because that's Godlike. There's order. Oh, you say, is that true? Look at chapter 6, you're right there. Chapter 6, watch, verse 1. Children, what's the next word? Obey your parents. That takes submission, doesn't it? In the Lord. For this is right. That takes subjection. So it's not weakness. Look at 1 Peter 5. You're doing well. Stay right with me. I'm almost finished. 1 Peter 5. Oh, I wish you'd come back tonight at 6. We'll show you something tonight in the Bible that will build upon this in such a greater way. You say, man, I'm just not at peace. Our home just isn't in peace. I don't know. Something's not right within me. Is there a little area in our life that we're just a little rebellious in? Maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is working on. And the way to overcome that is to be filled with the Spirit and yield to Him. Let Him crucify self, get self out of the way so it can just submit. You say, well, wait a minute. What if somebody walks all over you? What if someone abuses you? Boy, I've got to tell you something. It says to pray for them to despitefully use you. It doesn't say to retaliate. Doesn't it say something about do good to thine enemy? That takes submission. But it brings peace, too. Hey, I got to stop here for a moment. Boy, it's either you're real tired or you're shut off to this whole thing or you're thinking. A marriage is in order when there's mutual submission. A husband to wife, parents to children is order when there's mutual submission. They obey us and we serve them. Come on. Society, a church is in order when there's appropriate submission. Look at 1 Peter 5. And look, if you would, at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, what's the word say it? Submit. That's not weakness, that's strength. Yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, because with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Boy, it almost sounds like this thing of submission is not
Weakness is strength. Go back to Proverbs 29 and we'll close. Proverbs 29. We'll close for now. Pick it up in a much, much deeper way tonight. Proverbs 29. Last scripture. If we stopped our being corrected or instructed or reproved. In fact, I got to make a statement and I want you to listen to it. Wouldn't you agree that one of the aspects of receiving Christ as Savior is to be willing to submit? Isn't humble yourself have to do with subjection? Coming under authority? Hello? I mean, when we get saved, whether we understand it all or not, we do come under authority. Yes? Part of salvation is coming under authority. And somebody says, I don't want to come under those rules. I don't want to come under that law. May I say, out from under that law is chaos. There is no peace. There is no joy. There is quote-unquote happiness, but it's so temporary, it's not even worth talking about. When you get saved and you become a born-again child of God, receiving Christ as your Savior, one of the things that has to happen, there has to be a submissive, subjective spirit. It's called repentance. And we come under the authority of God, and may I say to you, there's peace and security and joy and happiness under that authority. I'm more happy now than I've ever been in my life. I am more happy now as a Christian, and as I grow and die more and just submit myself more and more to God and His authority, you know what? I'd submit myself to you all. I have no problem with that. You want me to be subject to you? I'll be happy to do so. I'll be happy to be your servant because I know doing that brings peace. Brings joy. It's abundant life. And God is pleased. And as long as God's pleased, who cares who uses you? Hey, if you want to get in the ministry as a leader, plan on being used. Plan on being abused. Part of it. Jesus was. What do you mean they abused Him, they used Him? Sure they did. Even one of His closest ones that He chose, Judas, used Him. What did he get out of it? 30 pieces of silver. What did he do with it? Went out and hung himself. Proverbs 29. Watch. Last one, brethren. You're doing well. Verse 1. Watch. He, that being often, that means repetitively, what? Say it again. Reprove. Reproved is correction. Maybe constructive criticized. Maybe instructed. Taught something. He that being often, repetitively, if you would, reproved, corrected. What does he do? Hardeneth his neck. You know what that means? He rebels. He doesn't submit to that reproof. He doesn't allow that correction in. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. Stiff neck. I'm not going to do it. Shall suddenly be what? Destroyed. And that without remedy. That's quite a scripture to meditate upon. Therefore, rebellion is not strength. Rebellion is weakness and is actually detrimental. The reproof of life, that's just the way of life. If a wise man is reproved, he becomes wiser. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus chose His 12 disciples, did He have to reprove any of them? Did He have to train them? Do you ever remember the Lord reproving Peter? Once or twice? Did Peter accept the correction? Yes, not always willingly. I'll never deny you. You will one day, Peter. But Peter learned how to be subject and submissive and became a great leader. Leadership in the Bible requires submission. Leadership in the Bible requires subjection because subjection and submission is not weakness, it's strength. Insecurity. Doubt. An inferiority complex makes one where they can't submit. I want to say this before I close. I know there is cultural abuse going on. I know there is abuse going on as to
who a person is, how they're born into culture. I know there's abuse going on in our culture dealing with all manner of type of aspects of life. Mankind can be very cruel with mankind. Come on. I understand there's cultural abuse that deals with where what country a person was born in, or what color they were born, or what their body structure looks like, or all kinds of things. I mean, I understand all that. But brother, we still have to do it the Bible way. We still, sister, have to do it the Bible way, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings about that peace. I asked you this morning, are you filled? Are you filled with the Spirit? You say, well, how could I tell? You've been a little rebellion around the household. You've been a little rebellion at the workplace. You've been a little rebellion with the house of God. You've been a little rebellious with the Word of God. Have we, got up in the morning and it's time for devotions? We said, I don't want it. Have it's been time for prayer and we just said, I don't want it. It's time for church, we don't want to go. A little irritated with our relationships around us, our spouses, or the places where we work, or the people we're supposed to work with, just a little irritated with them. Maybe the problem, brethren, is not them. Maybe the problem is actually us. See, we always want to change everybody else. Maybe it would be good to ask God to change us. I've learned this. Some people, better not to change or wait for them to change, better to change my attitude towards them and just submit under. Agree with thine adversary in a way. A soft word turneth away anger, wrath. But the only way we can actually do that is to be filled with the Spirit and let Him take over our lives and yield to Him. When's the last time you said, Holy Spirit of God, fill me? And don't be scared away by all the bugaboo out there. If you're filled with the Spirit, it doesn't mean you're going to bark like a dog. That's confusion. You could be filled with the Spirit quietly, flooded, saturated, absorbed, and watch that spirit of resistance inside of you, that attitude of rebellion, just melt away. And then comes peace. I got to tell you this, even if you were abused as a child, even if you were abused as an adult, God can bring that Spirit in that gives peace. The Bible says we're supposed to submit ourselves to God through salvation, number one, and then through growth process, progressive correction. Before we leave today, why not take a moment and say, Holy Spirit of God, fill me. I yield myself to you. Fill me that I could be more submissive so I could have peace. I've used it the wrong way. I thought it was weakness. It's actually strength. I've been insecure. I've been hiding behind this or that. Please fill me with thy Spirit. At a new level, at this point and place in my life, I have responsibilities that I face that I've never faced before. I have something in my life right now I face that I believe if thy Holy Spirit would fill me, that would help me to submit and subject down, and probably would iron things out in that relationship and that endeavor inside of me. You'd be surprised, brother. You would be surprised what peace God can bring and how He can make even our enemies be at peace with us when we submit and be filled with His Spirit and do it His way and let Him work in our lives. If you've never been saved, you've never been born again, today would be a good day to repent, receiving Christ as Savior. If you've already been that way, if you've been a little bit away from God, brethren, come back and say, God, fill me, please. Or if you're strong already, if you're already wise, please look up here. When a wise man receiveth that correction, that reproof, that instruction, he becomes wiser. And if you think you're wise enough now, you won't be wise enough for tomorrow. So it would be good to be filled today to get prepared for tomorrow. And be all that we can be, so when we show up at the judgment seat of Christ, God will say, well done, thou good. And what? Faithful. What? Servant. 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 Today, brethren, don't be ashamed or embarrassed to use an old-fashioned altar. Look up here, he said, a man knocked, and knocked, and knocked, and knocked,
and he wanted his substance and his family's substance taken care of. And the Bible says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit? You know how? When we knock and knock and knock and say, fill me please again today. He wants to do that. He wants to do that because he knows we need it. Let's all stand to our feet if you would. Please don't leave. Please just stand for a moment. I'd like you to do this. If you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, please don't think, I can't believe we're in an independent fundamental Baptist church and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Bible talk about being filled with the Spirit? Please don't be scared away by all these so-called manifestations going on out there. There could just be a peace of God that comes over your heart. You say, well, I'm already filled. It would be good to come before the Lord and say, Lord, am I filled? Or have I dissipated a little bit? Or is there an area of my life that I need to be wiser in? And part of the first way to get wise is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May I say this to you? I remember the first time I made an altar call dealing with being filled with the Spirit. Honestly, I got to be honest with you. I did it because of what the Scripture said, but I didn't understand it. But I'm still glad I did it. Now, years and years later, it doesn't take long for me to know when I've grieved the Holy Spirit, when I've quenched the Holy Spirit because of an action or an attitude. It doesn't take long to know that peace that passes all understanding seems to fade away. And it doesn't take long at all, but I'm glad I made that first trip to the altar. Even when I didn't understand it, just doing it out of a response to the Word of God and said, I don't understand exactly what this means, but I'm asking you to fill me. You say, why should you do something you don't understand? We do a lot of things by faith. And the understanding comes later this morning. Don't be embarrassed. And don't be shocked if you see a few people come. If you need salvation, we'd like to help you with that. With your heads bowed, just for a moment, your eyes closed. Preacher, I do think this message this morning would help me if I would apply it and do what the Scripture said to do. Not just be a hearer, but a doer. Would you hold up your hands and say, yes, I need to be filled. Or maybe you know someone. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I need to be saved this morning. Please pray for me, preacher. Don't point me out, but I need to be saved. Would you hold up your hand and say, that's me? Good. Hey, the instruments are going to play. The altar is open. Come right now. If you'd like to use an old-fashioned altar this morning, we'll dismiss after this. Please, don't be embarrassed about using an altar, brethren. Way in the back, don't be afraid of that long walk to an altar. Or maybe you want to use the pew right where you're at and you just want to sit down there or kneel down there. Christian, don't take for granted this feeling is available. It might smooth out some things in your life. It might smooth out some things. He might be able to smooth out some things in your business. There may be turmoil in your life right now that the Holy Spirit of God would like to take care of, and that's why He brought you to this place today. Don't be ashamed and embarrassed to go to Him. You say, well, I don't know Him yet. Go and talk to Him, please. Maybe you know somebody right now. You say, they're a Christian, I know them, but they are. Just seem to be more irritated recently or more agitated. Why don't you intercede for them and pray for them and say, oh God, give them a desire to be filled with Thy Spirit so that they can submit. Submitting is not weakness, it's strength. So they can be subject. Oh, I wish I could have more time this morning. Our children, our grandchildren need to see that spirit of submission inside of us as an example. Oh, I wish I had more time. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, everybody, just for a moment. I'm not sure of my salvation. I'd like somebody to pray for me. Would you hold up your hand right now? If you're a woman will get to you. If you're a man will get to you. If I could, I'd love to have somebody pray with me about my salvation. Show me some scriptures about it. Those of you who are workers in our church, look around. If you need salvation, would you hold up your hand so they could see you, please? We'll help you. Well, I'm going along pretty good right now. Then do this. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns. But also what we'll do is we'll thank God. It would be good this morning to thank God and appreciate Him and say, I just want to come that you have been such an important factor and part of my life. I want to thank you this morning. And I want to appreciate you this morning.
good. Take your time a little bit in the congregation. Some are still praying. If you're standing and you want to be seated, go ahead and do so as others pray. We'll dismiss in just a moment. Thank you for submitting yourself to these last couple minutes so others can pray in courtesy. Our services tonight are at 6 o'clock. Boy, I wish you would come back. I want to show you something biblically tonight that will set in order some things in our life. Just doing it God's way will set things in order. Hope you'd come back if you can tonight. Don't forget, if you'd like to, we have to purchase tickets so we know how many are coming to the couples retreat. If you're interested in that, in the foyer right after the services, it would be important probably to go ahead and do that. Limited seating, and I think it's going to fill up fast. If you knew who Tom Williams was, knew anything about him, you'd want to be there, believe me. The testimony is tremendous. Let's all stand. You've done well this morning. I appreciate you being here, and I know God appreciates you listening to His Word. If you're still praying, take your time. The rest of you, could you show yourself friendly just for one more time? Greet each other as we're going, be an encouragement to each other. Make sure you go right away and clear out our nurseries, if you would. Make sure you get your own children, obviously. And we appreciate you being here.